this is Scott with Android Guys.
And this is Luke.
And you're hanging with the guys.
You're hanging with the guys.
Yeah. I like that, but I don't.
Yeah, no.
Saying it.
Yeah, no.
It's okay. What the format is.
Yeah, it's okay to see it written out.
To signal what this show is about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just basically hanging with us.
Yeah, we're just talking about whatever.
Right. But to say it, it's kind of like, hello, fellow teens.
Yeah.
As you feel.
Hello, youths.
Yes. Hello, other children like me.
Did you see that this year that Steve Buscemi dressed up like that character?
That was so awesome.
So great.
He was just to be somebody who can find out that there's a meme about you.
Yeah.
And then be like,
yeah, I'll get on the joke.
I'll get on it. Somebody get me the same shirt. Somebody get, you know, that's so cool, man.
Yeah.
It is, well, this is weird because we're recording it on Tuesday, and
Thanksgiving was awesome.
Yes, we have to talk from the past. What did you have to eat? I had food.
Food? Thanksgiving food.
Yeah. As I record this, we're a couple days away from Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Doing anything special? I know we talked a little bit about it.
I'm going to in-laws.
Yeah.
Having some, you know, Thanksgiving dinner and pretty much just hanging out with the family. We don't do, my wife might do like a little bit of Black Friday shopping, but she doesn't usually like to go out unless there's somebody to go with her, go with a friend. Sometimes she'll do that, or sometimes with her mom or something, but with pandemic last year, obviously she didn't go. And then this year, she still doesn't really want to go out into big crowds for, you know, because she doesn't really, she's not looking for a TV. She's not looking for, you know,
the $88 laptop.
Yeah. She's just looking for, like, you know, cheap stocking stuff or things or last minute gifts. You know, I say last minute, but like, you know, the easy stuff, the stuff that's not like I put a lot of thought into this present for, you know, your main present for Christmas. It's like, oh, this is cool. You might like this.
Yep.
So it's all those cheap, you know, kind of throwaway presents, for lack of a better term.
My mom used to call. She used to have for our stockings. It was the hygiene fairy would come.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And fill it.
Yeah.
So it was usually full of like a new toothbrush,
mm-hmm.
a new deodorant, a new, you know, shower gel.
Yeah.
And all the hygiene stuff. Maybe a bottle of a new cologne or something.
Sure.
So, yeah, hygiene fairy.
All right, that works.
What you been up to? Anything special?
Oh, man. Not really. Been watching some TV, some movies, and, you know, it's gearing up for holiday season, so I still think I'm kind of in the, like, relax and preserve energy because I know it's going to be go time here pretty soon.
Yeah. I'm feeling more comfortable with going home and putting on pajamas
right
now.
Well, and with the time change and, you know, at like 7 o'clock, it feels like it's 11 at night because it's dark. And it's just, yeah, I don't want to do anything.
It is weird to look at the clock and think, oh, man, I don't know how much more I have in me. Mm-hmm. And then look at it and go, oh, not even 8.
Right.
What's wrong with me?
Right.
I'm old.
Yeah. But, well, it's whatever.
You know, then there are days where I'll look at that and I'm like, oh, it's only 8. I could get into a whole new show or I can watch.
I have time to actually, if I want to go to a movie right now, I could go to a movie.
Yeah. So I'm with you, man. I had an eventful couple of days since we last got together.
What'd you did?
I did. Go to Laguna Beach, California.
Hey.
I had an awesome time.
Yeah, man.
I was invited by MediaTek
uh-huh.
to go out there. Their PR company had contacted a couple months back and extended an invitation to go out and to attend their executive summit or their annual event and spend a couple of days kind of on a for lack of a better word, a resort.
That's awesome.
First time I've ever done something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not something I want to say was the only time.
Yeah.
dude, it was such a thing, man. It was like, once you step foot on it, you're just there. And you just kind of forget that there's a world.
Yeah.
You know, that there's just crap going on and you got things back home. And shout out to the Montage Hotel. They really made you feel like, you know, royalty.
Nice.
Like, you feel like you're being taken care of. And, I mean, it was warm, warmer than what we have here. But at night it was, you know, you could wear a sweater or, you know, a jacket, hoodie or something to stay warm. But during the day it was, you know, 62 compared to like, it's what, 20, it's 35 today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was 23 when I got up this morning. So it was, I mean, it's just, it was gorgeous. It was a really cool event to, to spend time and to see people again, to attend an event where you see familiar faces, talk to people that, you know, are in the industry, that it's been at least 2 years since you've seen them before, some people longer.
Yeah.
And, just to kind of, and then just to meet new people in the space. And then also, you know, of course, to spend time with media tech and get to put faces behind the brand.
Yeah.
And they're really cool faces, man.
Yeah.
They, for a brand as big as they are, and I'll talk about that here in a minute, but for a brand as big as they are, these are some very, like, genuine people.
Nice.
Very, like, down to earth, approachable. And they just, I mean, there's passion in them, but definitely, not something where they're like, we're the best, we're, you know, nothing smug.
Right.
And, but at the same time, they're aware that they are the best or the biggest without presenting it in a way that comes across as disgusting.
It wasn't a welcome, you're lucky to be here. It was a welcome, we're excited you're here.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And, you know, in looking at the size of the people that attended, I felt, and I even said to my dad, I talked to him, I said, I feel really privileged to be here because of the number of people. To say I'm included in this group was just really sobering.
Sure.
And also something where it's kind of like, okay, I'm cool with this. Yeah. You know, it was,
well, I mean, you won't say it, which is fine, but you've been in this game a long time. So you have the clout, you know.
Yeah.
You've spent the time here. So you are a mainstay in the in this world.
That was one of the discussions we had at dinner one night.
Yeah.
Was, you know, we had a handful of different people that had sat down, and all of us had completely different backgrounds. And then when I had kind of shared where I got my start, they, you know, some of the guys were looking at me like, okay, you've been here since literally day one covering Android. And, it's cool, man. It's really cool to see people that are, you know, doing different things in the same space, using technology and tools that have come about as I've been doing this.
Sure.
So people who have kind of, you know, they're YouTube creators or, you know, social media influencers, for lack of a better term.
Right.
To see them kind of harnessing and leveraging these tools while, you know, for the most of, you know, 14 years has been written word for us.
Right.
So we're starting to get more and more into audio video and I'm getting more and more excited about that. But at the same time, I see where some of these other people are, and it kind of drives me and inspires me to kind of, you know, maybe double down on that effort and to keep pushing forward, because to me, that seems to be, I don't want to say more enjoyable, but just to be, if anything, to do something different than I have been doing. But yeah, we were there for, we got in Wednesday and we had a couple of not seminars, but sessions on Thursday and Friday. And then we pretty much had the day to ourselves Saturday and flew back Sunday.
Nice.
And learned some interesting things during the sessions. And that's one of the things that I know MediaTek because that's our beat. You know, we cover smartphones, and you can't talk about a phone announcement without what's the processor,
right?
What's the RAM, what's the screen size. And I think you and I probably agree that when we see MediaTek, we immediately go to, this is going to be cheaper.
Yes.
You know, because we know from experience that they tend to be.
Yeah, that's where they've sat in the market for, not cheaper that they're made poorly. It's just
less expensive.
Yeah, they focus on that price point or that part of the market.
And there is a huge segment of buyer that play in that 250 and less sandbox.
Definitely.
And, you know, as time goes, I think people more and more realize, I don't need a flagship phone. I don't need to buy the Galaxy S or the Pixel or the latest iPhone. I'm okay with something that's 4 years old. I'm okay with something that's, you know, a year old, but completely, you know, less hardware.
Yeah.
I don't need the cutting edge, you know, in display fingerprint reader. I don't need 8 gigabytes of RAM. I could get away with 4 for my needs. So that's where a lot of MediaTek devices for what we cover tend to be.
Yeah.
And as we start to get more and more, I'm looking around the office here and I see, you know, Realme, Xiaomi, Poco, OnePlus, you know, different brands all using MediaTek processors. And I don't know if it's a concerted effort on their parts, but I feel like there are different players maybe trying to spread their wings a little bit in the US.
Sure.
Up until now, I knew MediaTek was big and they had become the largest mobile processor, you know, in 2020 and still kind of holding on to that. But I didn't realize the breadth of or the extent of their reach.
Right.
You know, in terms of processors for everything in our lives. You know, it's really quick and easy to say this is a Snapdragon processor, which model is it? And then you immediately kind of have an image of where that sits on the totem pole or hierarchy. MediaTek is in everything.
Yeah.
They're pretty much everything. Amazon, Kindle, Fire Stick, Fire TV, pretty much Roku products, Vizio. They're in soundbars. They're in headphones. They're in Peloton. They're in Oral-B toothbrushes. Yeah. They are, you know, Sonos, Skull Candy.
It's pretty safe to say that most people have a MediaTek product in their house,
whether
they know it or not.
Multiple.
Yeah.
You know, we look at routers. You also have like Belkin, Linksys, D-Link, Netgear.
Yeah.
Asus, HP, Lenovo, Acer. These are all brands that use their stuff. So they're all over the place. And, we had a little bit of a conversation about whether or not they have a branding issue. But, you know, you brought up the point that they're as big as they are despite that.
Yeah.
That you don't have to necessarily say, here's who I am.
Yeah.
Notice us. That you can just be.
It's almost like they have true partnerships with the brands that they're in. And it's just, we're here. We're getting paid.
We're here to power and enable your vision.
And we're part of it, but it's not, it doesn't have to be, you know, Belkin by MediaTek, or it doesn't have to be, you know, Lenovo with a MediaTek chip.
Right. And that's something that, you know, they even had a couple of their partners at this event, and ARM was there, AMD was there, and, you know, you got the sense that they were partnerships.
Yeah.
That it wasn't one specifically relied on the other, or also we bring the other one along.
Sure.
You know, it felt like a genuine kind of, we both have common vision.
Yeah.
And we're both kind of work together.
That's cool.
But the big news that came out of that was, you know, they have the new Dimensity 9000 processor.
Okay.
And that is, you know, for the first time, they're really going to push into the area of flagship.
Nice.
You know, that was, it was kind of like a tongue-in-cheek thing with the F word while they were in town, you know. But they didn't want to make any announcements.
Yeah.
But they kind of allude to the fact that we will probably see them getting into, you know, pricier, kind of growing a little bit more, scaling, I should say,
sure,
into different price points.
Nice.
Up until now, it's largely been, you know, budget, entry level, uh-huh, mid range, and then what they would qualify as premium,
uh-huh,
which for a lot of people, I would say, is akin to like a junior flagship.
Sure.
You know, one of those things where it's good enough for me.
Right.
I don't necessarily need more. But I would say that, you know, with the 9000, and we'll see the first phones sometime, probably the middle of the first half of the year.
Okay.
So I'm guessing
end of Q1, maybe beginning Q2.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And that also lines up with CES coming up.
Yeah.
Mobile World Congress.
Yep.
And companies working with, you know, that chip.
They'll probably tease a little bit more concrete evidence around there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine.
So with the 9000, and not to get too nerdy or tech, you know, mm-hmm, bullet point wise, it's an octa-core chip, which gives you, of course, 8 cores.
Yeah.
This is the first one to have 3.05 gigahertz.
Nice.
It's a, they call it the X2 core, and it has pretty robust performance. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at it compared to other processors or even like their previous generation,
mm-hmm,
you know, I'm trying to think here without talking too detailed. Higher performance, more efficiency.
Right.
Just generally going to open up the door to, you know, faster 5G without, uh-huh, even having to get into millimeter wave. Also into higher refresh rates on phones.
Nice.
So even, you know, better, you know, on a full HD plus screen. Right now we're getting at around 144.
Yeah.
For the max of refresh rate. This will power or enable up to 180.
Nice.
Hertz refresh rate. 4K triple exposure HDR video.
Ooh.
Dynamic range, you know, with cameras that are 18-bit, like near the same as the human eye. Just crazy. I mean, I took a bunch of notes, but I think the middle of the year, second half of the year could be really interesting.
That's awesome.
I'm very curious to see who or what is lined up.
Yeah.
From that.
Yeah, it's very interesting because based on their current partnerships, I think I have a guess of maybe who I would say is the most likely, but it also could be anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, like, globally, they've got Samsung, Motorola, Xiaomi, Vivo, Redmi, mm-hmm, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
The one thing that may be different for some people is that it doesn't have millimeter wave.
Uh-huh.
And so that 5G could be, you know, a deal breaker for like the big, big flagship from maybe something through Verizon.
Sure.
Or something like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's in like the new Galaxy A70 series.
Yep.
Or something where, you know, Motorola's ready to step into the, mm-hmm, the flagship with something like that. Because, mm-hmm, Motorola is starting to show signs again of, you know, moving beyond that G and E.
Yep.
You know, that one series is starting to be a little bit more appealing, mm-hmm, to people who want that performance.
Right.
And just to wrap this up, the of the 8 cores, one of them is the 3.05 or 3 gigahertz. There are 3 cores at 2.85, which are going to be the cores that are going to be more for, I would say, like your balance your performance with your battery.
Mm.
You know, it's going to kind of dance between the two. And then at the bottom, your 4 cores of 1.8 gigahertz, which is going to be kind of like your, you know, really efficient, low power consumption tasks, something
sure.
that. And it's interesting when you say at the bottom is only a 1.8 gigahertz, you know, there's 4 of those.
Right.
So you and I remember not that long ago having a phone that was a dual core.
Right.
Total.
Right.
you know? So this is really exciting stuff. That's the Dimensity 9000 processor. So look for more of that as, you know, next couple of months.
Sure.
And then I also learned more about how they want to position some of their other brands. They have a new chipset or a new branding for their TVs.
Yeah.
One for Chromebooks and tablets, one for Wi-Fi systems.
Nice.
So you'll be able to identify if it's a PhiLogic, you'll say that's a MediaTek, or it's a Pentonic, that's a MediaTek for the TV, Companio, you know. So you'll be able to quickly, instead of just being some
arbitrary something,
numbers and letters, right, or family, you know, that's so that you'll see a lot more of that.
That's cool.
I think with each of the new, be able to more quickly identify. And then also see kind of where, you know, the different models line up. It was interesting to jump from like a 1200 model for the Dimensity to all the way to 9000. And the question was asked how or why. And they more or less wanted to signal it was a huge step forward instead of going to like the 2000 or the 3000.
Right.
Went straight to 9000. So
nice.
Yeah.
So it was a great trip overall.
Dude, it was a great trip. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
Some of it was just really cool. We had a cooking session.
I was jealous about this.
So this was interesting, right? I don't watch much cooking on TV. It sounds as if maybe
I do.
You do.
I do.
And part of the show or the event was we had a cooking session with a celebrity chef. And then as I was getting ready to leave, you said, who is it?
Yeah.
I looked it up and I was like, I don't know. Richard Blaze? I totally slept on this guy,
yeah,
man. He is awesome.
Yeah.
And not just like food, because he didn't do much. He walked with, you know, walked through cooking with
him. At this point, he doesn't have to do much, right?
He sits
in a test kitchen and says, I want this at my steakhouse. I want this at my fine dining restaurant. I want this at my cafe.
Dude is awesome.
He's so down to earth. He's got a great personality, it seems like.
He can hold a conversation, hold a room.
Sure.
Doesn't seem to be at all uncomfortable. I feel like he could adapt to pretty much any situation.
Yeah.
Just all around likable dude.
Yep.
So we got to make chicken tacos.
Nice.
And they had, everything was kind of pre-measured for us. We just kind of mix it together and
nice.
Cook the chicken, cut it up, and then, you know, add pineapple, cilantro. He's got his own barbecue sauce. So we had a couple spoons of that on there.
Nice.
And we got to bring home barbecue sauce.
Nice.
And he gave us a book. He's got a book that I think it's 100 recipes.
Nice.
Of things. So.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's an awesome trip.
He's cool, man. And he mentioned that, and I think I'm going to have to start watching cooking shows now.
Okay. Okay.
He's got the show coming up in January.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to start watching something. I know that he's doing the show with
Gordon Ramsay. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the name of it.
It's like cooking. It's like
it's two words that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It
has different floors. So, yeah,
so there's three floors.
Three different floors. The idea is like at the top.
Next level chef.
Next level chef, yeah. At the top is like you have access to, you know, best kitchen you can imagine with all the best ingredients in this little mini, you know, area, this middle area where you just grab the ingredients you want. And then I imagine there's probably a certain time limit, and then those ingredients go down. And then the next chef, the next floor down, the chefs who are not as good, but okay, get access to those ingredients to pick for what they want. And then the last floor is like, how did he put it?
Oh, yeah. He says, have you guys seen the opening to Saw?
Yeah.
Where they're in the bathroom and it's just terrible accommodations, poor lighting.
Yeah.
The tools and things like that are just not world class, like up above.
Yeah. So, that's the last floor, and they have kind of, you know, the last pick of ingredients and stuff to cook with. So it'll be interesting to see. There's really not much out yet for it as far as like exactly how it works. There's, you know, some teasers and trailers and stuff, commercials. I wonder if there'll be, you know, ingredients out of left field sitting on there too, or, you know, stuff like that. Who knows?
I'm very curious as to, because my brain goes, well, once you're on the bottom floor, how the hell do you get off of it?
Yeah, I imagine everybody makes, it's like, you know, this challenge is, you know, steak and fries, and then it's judged, everybody's judged for making steak and fries, and then whoever's the best goes up to the next floor, or maybe goes to the top floor, and everybody works their way down. So you can be on different floors, you know, throughout the whole competition.
Yeah.
It reminds me, and everything I've, you know, read about it so far, thought about, people throw out the movie The Platform.
Mm-hmm.
You never saw that movie, right?
I didn't see it. It was one that I was like, need to watch it, and then forgot about.
So I it's on Netflix, a Netflix movie, I think. Mm-hmm. And man, it's kind of a similar idea. The idea is it's a prison. And two people per floor, but there's something like 100 floors or something like that. And they start at the top with all kinds of food you can eat and everything. And the idea is it slowly lowers down, and the higher you are, the more choices of food you have. And then when it gets to the bottom, there's either, you know, scraps or no food left. And, you know, the people at the very bottom essentially, you know, starve to death or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's a very intense movie.
A lot of social commentary.
Yep.
About class systems and things, from what I gather.
Yep. Yeah, I really like that movie, but it's interesting that I feel like somebody watched that movie and said, how can we make this a TV show? And then somehow it was married with food, and it's just, I mean, it was married with food because that's the main thing in the movie. But like, to the idea of a cooking show, like, it's interesting. It'll be cool to see how it comes out. And, you know, Gordon Ramsay, take him or leave him, he's a personality that we all know. But Richard Blaise is great. So it'll be cool to see him on a show consistently. He's been on, you know, Top Chef, and
yeah.
He's been on other cooking shows as a guest and a celebrity judge or stuff like that. He's now, you know, known.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
One of the questions that he was asked was about tasting food and judging it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things was whether food is cold by the time they get it, or
he did
say, because you don't score based off of the temperature of the food.
Okay.
He's like, you have to kind of, like, you will probably get something cold. You just go off of everything else. Generally,
yeah, sure.
Because I'm sure there are shows, and the somebody listening is going to watch a show, and tonight they're going to say, this thing is cold. And like, wait, I thought they didn't judge.
You know, yeah.
Android guys told me.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, he's like, you just kind of, you know, you go for the taste and texture and all that other stuff.
Presentation, all that fun stuff, yeah.
Yep. So are you generally a fan of cooking shows?
Oh, yeah.
Competitions?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, so it started out like, I mean, they're really, cooking shows exploded when reality TV exploded, right? Mm-hmm. Up until then, the cooking shows that I watched were like Good Eats with Alton Brown or Top Chef or Iron Chef.
Iron Chef, yeah.
Iron Chef America. So, which also had Alton Brown. I like Alton Brown. but then, you know, Top Chef came out, and I really like Top Chef. And then there's been, you know, Master Chef is Gordon Ramsay. There's Kitchen Nightmares is Gordon Ramsay, all this stuff. And now we have hey, look at this segue. We're doing great.
Where are we going here?
We're going to the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Yeah. So that's on Netflix, and that's been, you know, there's like 9 seasons or something now.
Okay.
And so I've been watching the latest season of that. And I think last season is when they started like releasing episodes weekly. They used to just, you know, dump them all in one. But now I was a little late to get into it this season. So I watched like 5 or 6 in a row, and now I'm caught up. And so now I'm like, man, it's like semifinals. I'm like, I want to watch. Where's the final? Did I miss it?
Yep.
But no, it's not out yet. But yeah, I've been watching that. That's so the thing about Great British Baking Show that I love is the thing we know about reality TV is it's so cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these characters. There's the, you know, and everybody's against everybody else. There's a lot of backstabbing and backbiting and attitudes and blah, blah, blah. Great British Baking Show, man, everybody is so nice, so kind.
Yeah.
They're there to compete. They want to win, obviously. They all want to win. But they are all there to support each other, too. You know,
People
get done with something and they'll say, oh, that looks awesome. Or you did great. Or I'm nervous because everybody's here looks really good.
Yeah.
Or somebody will have a problem in the kitchen. Somebody will be like, oh, I have time. I'll come help you. And they'll help them get something done. Or they'll help them carry, you know, their cake to the stand. Or like, and they're complimenting each other. And there's no like, nobody's, you know, cussing. Nobody's yelling.
They all have
nobody's
culture.
Angry. It's so refreshing. It's just like, and I know that could be done in other shows, But it seems like in, you know, our culture,
we need the drama.
We need the drama. We need to put people against each other because that's what we want to watch.
We need to create conflict for the sake of drama and interest.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It'd be interesting to see another show take that idea and bring it to the reality show. It seems like, did you ever watch the Lego show with Will Arnett, the Lego show?
Yeah.
That was like that. Everybody was kind of friendly with each other for the most part And supportive and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That was, I think, the closest that I've seen to a reality show that was friendly. But yeah, man, I've been watching Great British Baking Show and it's been good.
I think that's the show that's on. Sometimes I'll go with my wife and I'll get a pedicure.
Yeah.
And we'll sit there and they've got TV set up in there with a big one with a baking show.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another one. It's usually that or like a building a house and improving on it.
Oh, yeah,
and
like a HGTV kind of show. Sure.
So I don't know if it's the one that you talked about, but it seems like it because I'll read the subtitles and I get this vibe that, you know, sometimes they're outside and they're like, the one was like, man, I'm really sweating here. And the other person was like, here, do this. And they like helped them roll a towel on their back of their neck to keep cool. Yeah. And I was like, hey, look at these guys getting along.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for somebody to be like, you know,
pushing somebody's stuff over.
Yeah. Like, oh, thanks. I hid your cinnamon, you know, or something. But yeah, it's weird after meeting him and just watching him for just that short bit. I'm like, I'm going to be following this guy now.
Yeah.
He's going to do this. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You know, he's just that interesting.
I'm going to turn you into a reality cooking show guy.
Yeah. Well, that goes with that knife. I got a nice knife a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you're going to be a chef someday.
Someday. I'm out of here, dude. You're going to come in and it's going to be like Goodwill Hunting. You're just going to knock on the door and I'm just not going to answer.
Dang it.
You're going to find out. Yeah, you'll see me on TV wearing an apron.
I would love that.
So a week ago, after we left here, I texted you. It was like 8:33.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, did you watch it?
Yeah.
And you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because it dropped at 8:30 Eastern time.
Yes.
Spider-Man trailer.
Yeah, dude.
What do you think?
I'm excited. We saw a lot of people that we haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know. I don't like, you know, the multiverse now in the MCU is just throwing, there's no rules anymore. It's everything is on the table again. And it seems like in Spider-Man No Way Home, you know, the whole idea is that we have the multiverse and Peter, because he was trying to, we saw at the end of Homecoming, or not Homecoming,
Far From Home.
Far From Home, that he was unmasked. And the idea is that, you know, he's trying to get, he goes to Doctor Strange and has him do this spell that people won't remember he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know how, but something happens and messes up the space time continuum, and all the flux capacitors are all messed up. So, but in this, it, you know, there's holes and the multiverse is happening, and we see characters from the other Spider-Man movies.
Yep. Villains.
Villains. We haven't seen any other Spider-Men. But the rumor is we will.
Right.
But yeah, man, I'm in. I love Alfred Molina as Doc Ock.
Yeah. Did you get the sense that he may be a sympathetic to Peter, kind of like,
yeah,
I can help you, or
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, you're not Peter, and then, like, not being mad about it.
There was another. So we see one other clip in that trailer that looks like they're talking together about multiverse,
like, things. What's happening.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just we're hearing exposition over different images.
Yeah.
It might be different in the actual movie. We've seen that done before. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see, you know, Doc Ock as a maybe more friendly character.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's, you know, maybe he's friendly for a time and it's a ruse. You know, we could see that too, as we did with Magneto.
Yeah.
Or not Magneto, Mysterio.
Mysterio.
I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Part of me still feels like there's probably more villain stuff that they haven't shown us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they want to just tip their hand with all but just the Spider, you know, crossover.
They've shown
Spider-Man.
Us a lot. I can't imagine that's all there is, because yeah. I don't think we would have seen it all. Because,
I mean, there's rumors of Vulture and Venom.
Now, if there's Venom, there might be Carnage.
Yep.
We have Morbius, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know how,
because these are all characters that have been in the Spider-Man universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we could see anything.
Yeah, I mean, Disney's big enough to license anything if they wanted to.
Yeah,
and just say, hey, we worked out a deal to use this character. And I could see the movie maybe somehow resolving with things just being sent back, you know, mixed up. I mean, you know, certain things going back and just, you know, not put back in the box properly.
Sure.
And how does, you know, what
that's
happens?
That's a problem for another movie.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's let Sony handle that for a while.
Yeah. Or we're going to put this problem back in the, you know, Avengers box. Now they have to handle this.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we've talked before about the idea of when you start messing with time continuation and timelines and the ability to go back in time, how that can, under the wrong hands, can get pretty messy and just always feel like the stakes aren't that bad because you just go back further and start over.
Right.
But I have to trust Marvel's done a pretty good job so far.
In Feige we trust, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just a few weeks away from that
now. Man.
Like December 17th.
Yeah. And we're like a weekend or so away from Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Which means we're like a weekend or so away from Boba Fett.
Yeah. If you start to look from one property to the next.
So much good things happening.
Yeah. It's a good season.
Yeah. It's a good time to be a fan of things.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, says everybody at any given time in the history of man. It's a good time for people who are a fan of things. That's terrible, but I love it. Look, you have been listening to a book or reading a book.
I have, yeah. The Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan.
Okay, so the show finally hit Amazon, right? The show did,
yeah. It hit Amazon Prime last week. They released the first three episodes as a bunch, and then they're doing one episode a week from here on out. I don't know how many episodes are in season one. They were before the premiere. They were renewed for a season two.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched all three twice, actually, because the first watch was good, but I was trying to just enjoy the story they were telling and not compare it to the story I had read.
Uh-huh.
And so second time through, I was comparing more. And, you know, it's so hard to do a book justice in a movie. Mm-hmm. It just is. It's the age old, the book was better. You know, there's a reason that that's a saying. And in this case, it's true. The book is better than what I've seen so far. But what I've seen is still good. I like it. I mean, I like fantasy shows in general. Mm-hmm. This has a interesting, different kind of take on magic in the world. And they've slightly changed a couple of the characters in the book. They've, you know, added a little bit of story to some, taken away some story in the others. And there's, you know, different things happening. And the show is moving fast so far.
Mm-hmm.
They said that season one would cover book one and two and maybe some of three. And I definitely see that because in the first three episodes we're almost halfway through the book already.
Of book one?
Of book one.
Wow.
So, but this is a 14 book series.
Okay.
So there's a lot of story. Yeah, I like it. It's not the best thing ever. It's not, and I think you would be best served if you are a person that has never read the book, and are interested in watching the show, go into it with an open mind and don't compare it to Game of Thrones, because they are both fantasy, but that's kind of where they end. Tonally, Game of Thrones is very dark, very detailed. And the Wheel of Time series is detailed, but it's a little bit more lighthearted.
Mm.
There's some very serious things happening in the world. There's very high stakes, but it's not. It's not as, like, I guess, glum and serious as Game of Thrones. So it tonally just feels different as a show. It's mm-hmm. it's not as dark.
Okay.
It's vivid. It's bright. It's colorful. It's good. There's, you know, the acting, I think, maybe could be stronger in certain people. Rosamund Pike is great.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good actress. The a couple of the other characters are very good. But some of the other characters are just okay.
Okay.
The acting is just okay. And I think if you go into it for the story, I think you'll be okay. But if you go into it trying to get Game of Thrones, you're going to be disappointed.
Okay.
It's just not Game of Thrones. So, yeah, I watched it. I am in. I really love the world regardless.
How long are the episodes?
About 45 minutes-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And they move right along.
Okay. According to IMDb and Wikipedia,
mm-hmm.
first season is 8 episodes.
Okay.
And it'll end on Christmas Eve.
Hey. Okay.
So, whenever I see new series or new shows or things that are based in fantasy, I haven't read these books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see them.
Yeah.
Based off of what you sort of described. And just, I also am a fan of those types of things, or at least giving them a shot.
Sure.
But I also, there's just something, as you mentioned, about like acting and some of that. Some things that I look at, and not to discredit or take a crap on certain shows or specific shows, but I see something and I'm like, Man, it's, I could see why it has a big fan base, but it's, I just don't think it's that great.
Sure.
And I try to think of like, one that comes to mind is my wife, was recommended and started watching, Arrow.
Oh yeah.
And I think about like that or The Flash and some of these, and I'm like, it's good, but it's not like appointment television where I need to sit down and watch it. Right. I might binge it and sit there with her, play on my phone and do some things, kind of pay attention to what's going on. But there's just something in the production quality where it just kind of stops short of being like grand.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is good, not great. And you can see maybe some constraints of budget or something. But
And I think Wheel of Time kind of fits in that.
Yeah.
I would say that's a pretty fair kind of like I think Gotham hit me that way.
Yeah.
The TV show Gotham.
Yeah.
Really wanted to like it because of the take on, you know, that world. But it just was a little bit too fake.
Yeah, it doesn't carry the weight that you kind of expect. And some of the premises and plots and some of those things, you just, they get telegraphed real early. And you're like, oh, boy, this guy that his buddy from, you know, the war hasn't seen, and they're out drinking and having a good time. I wonder if he's going to be the bad guy in this episode. Right. We're going to find out that, you know, the country took from you, and you got to do, it's like, dude, I saw this playing out, you know, 6 minutes into the show.
Right.
But that, I'm a mastermind.
Right. Yeah.
I can't help that.
I've been watching TV forever. I'm a professional TV watcher.
That's probably what it is. It's just like, there's only so many ways to do that story, but I'm in, I'll check it out. And having never read Game of Thrones, I loved the show. Right up until a certain point.
Sure.
And then I was in like.
Much like all of us.
I was in love with it. And then I ended up a relationship in like with it.
Yeah.
But never read it. So I'm curious about trying another property that comes from a whole bunch of books.
Yeah.
Do you know if the book series is done?
It is done.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was Robert Jordan, and then it was taken over by another well-known fantasy author, Brandon Sanderson, finished the last two or three.
That would be weird to give your IP to somebody else, say, here, finish it. I trust you.
Right.
Don't mess up my characters or, you know.
And from what I've, you know, I haven't finished the series, but from what I've heard, it works. So I don't know. I guess yet to find out.
Sure.
TBD. But yeah, man, I watched that. The only other thing I watched on Netflix was I watched Love Hard.
Okay.
Which is a new Christmas movie. It has Jimmy O Yang, which we know from Silicon Valley as Jin Yang.
Right.
It's a romantic comedy. And the idea is this girl meets this guy on a dating app. Like, they talk, they get to know each other, they're falling for each other. She goes to surprise him for Christmas at his, you know, his house, and finds out that he is not who she thought he was. She got catfished.
Okay.
And then it's the story of, you know, just what happens after that. It is pretty stereotypical, but it's got some heart. It's got some good messages of, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, and love doesn't have to be perfect to be love, you know. Sure. It's the idea of, you know, nothing's perfect, just find what's real kind of idea. It's good. It was fine. I you know, it's not like something that I would be like, oh my gosh, you have to see this, is one of the greatest love stories ever. But it's fine.
I have a weird feeling about romantic comedies, seasonal ones.
Sure.
Because that gets back to the whole, like, stereotypes and tropes, and somebody who's, you know, I'm back from the big city, and
right,
everything is exposition you know, things have changed in the 9 years since you went to New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're still doing this. You always loved doing that. And, you know, you still got those old skates, you know, that kind of crap. But
so this movie doesn't really have that.
Okay, like, good.
You know, this the girl is the one transplant, and the town has been everybody else has been in the same town forever. So there's not she's a little bit of an outsider, but it's not like she's so different. It's just she, you know, thinks about people differently than, you know, than she should. And so it's not like, you know, she's a fish out of water. It's just she's just a little.
Well, that's not to say that Netflix or these types of movies can't be good. Did you ever see Always Be My Maybe?
No, that who was in that? I think I remember
Keanu Reeves has a cameo.
Yes, you know what? I did see that.
That was an interesting. That was funny to me.
It was. It was a funny movie.
Lighthearted, kind of guess where things are going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, the conflicts and whatever. But
Keanu Reeves is great in that.
That whole
scene is just fantastic.
He like touches a woman and she turns and she's immediately crying just from the briefest of interactions. and then the other one I was thinking about as you were describing movies, Netflix movies, romantic comedies. I watched one a couple years ago called Irreplaceable You.
Okay.
Where the woman was dying and she wanted to like help set up her husband with like other women and kind of like help when I'm gone, I need you to find somebody. And, Christopher Walken was in it. There's like, you know, people dealing with cancer and death. And man, my wife and I sat down to watch that because we, you know, thought it would be whatever.
Yeah.
That movie wrecked me, dude.
Oh, no.
Like the end of that movie, I'm like sitting there and she's like looking at me and she's like, what's going on? I was like, oh, I'm nothing. Just, you know, this is like the worst case scenario situation for me, you know? Like, she's like, you don't like what she's doing? And I'm like, I don't want to ever do this.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever do this to me.
Yeah.
Wow. It was just, you know, going through and I was just kind of like, okay, this movie's affecting me.
Yeah.
And I was like,
isn't that weird how some movies hit you like that? It's just strange.
It's a...
especially from something that's like a, you know, not necessarily supposed to be that heavy. I don't know.
Right.
Is it a romantic comedy? Is that what
it's it is, to be? But it, there's, you know, it's,
yeah, there's
it's
some,
a drama.
Yeah, there's some
too,
but, heart to it.
Yeah, but it just got to that and I was just like, oh,
yikes.
This sucks. Just to turn the TV off and we just stare at the wall for a couple hours.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to bed.
Let's just watch Seinfeld instead.
Yeah, you don't get to pick the next movie.
Yeah.
No more remote for you. Luke, I have one other thing that I was going to talk about, and it's just a product that we've already reviewed it here months ago, but I just wanted to talk about briefly. And then you have, according to these notes here, a food.
I do have a food.
Yeah. So I just wanted to plug or point out the Master Dynamic earbuds. I've been a big fan of theirs for a long time. I had the MW08. Those are their newer ones for this year. Took them with me when I traveled. And, man, those are nice.
Yeah.
These have a like a stainless steel case. These are super comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the 07s were comfortable and they had like little wing tips, kind of fins to hold them in your ear.
Yeah.
These do away with that and they're a little bit smaller. These are the way to go, dude.
Yeah.
I actually will find myself many nights putting one in and just laying down like in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And just even if I put my ear to the pillow and just listen to a podcast or something.
Nice.
Wake up at like 3 a.m. with the earbud stuck to my back. Trying to get it. These have 12-hour battery.
Dang.
They charge super fast. Active noise cancellation. If you're looking for a nice premium quality, they have an app that you can go in. There's a couple of settings you can change. Really nice.
Yeah.
High-end stuff. They are a premium audio brand.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for something that, you know, you might replace your phone every couple of years. I don't think you're going to replace your earbuds.
Sure.
you know, you can get away with a $50 pair a few times,
mm-hmm.
or if you put some money into it, get yourself, you know, something that's, you know, these are dads, don't touch them.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
put them back in the box and yep. you're done. You know, that's kind of how I treat those. So that,
nice.
Just a tiny little plug for the MW08s, not paid, not sponsored, yeah. just yeah. a fan of.
Yeah. You've been product. Using them and they're good.
I could speak to the quality of them. Luke, you speak to the quality of the Sugar Plum Danish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Starbucks in 2020, they released the Sugar Plum Cheese Danish.
Mm-hmm.
They've had the Cheese Danish forever. And so part of the holiday rollout last year was the Sugar Plum Cheese Danish. And it was like almost impossible to find. I never had one last year,
mm-hmm.
but it's back this year. And so I was like, oh, I'll try it. Dude, I've gotten one like... I've probably had one like twice a week now for the last month.
They've been out that long?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get on it.
It's so good. It's like, I mean, it's just a little cheese Danish with some, you know, sugar plum filling around the cheese. It's nice and soft. You can have it, you know, cold or warm if mm-hmm. you want it warmed up. They're so good. Like, I'm not really one for Starbucks pastries in general.
Yeah.
Their breakfast sandwiches are fine. I prefer probably the less good, like McDonald's, you know, greasy mm-hmm. sandwich. But man, that Sugar Plum Cheese Danish is a nice little treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really all I have to say. It's just good. And if you haven't had one, give it a try. I was like, I don't know if I really like sugared plums necessarily. Like, I've had plums before, and plums are fine. It's not like it's not a fruit that is very common for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't something that I was like, ooh, I like plum. I probably will like this. And plum and cheese together, it was just like,
yeah,
I don't know. But sugar plum, sure, you hear about that at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Let's try it. Can't get enough of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, you say like cheese too is like a cheese Danish. I mean, you think of cheese, yeah. you don't think of
yeah, it's like that sugary. I mean, and cheese Danish is like you know, it's like a sweet cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a you know, a Cheddar Bay biscuit.
Oh my goodness!
You know, it's good.
Also delicious.
Absolutely.
You know, if we're talking restaurants or brands, and
yes,
there.
Yes. Now, if Red Lobster had a Cheddar Bay biscuit sausage breakfast sandwich, I'd be down.
You'd be done.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yes, please. Sign me up. Can you imagine if Red Lobster was open for breakfast?
I don't know.
It just doesn't seem right.
Imagine somebody coming into your cubicle or your office smelling like,
like
fish at 9 a.m.
Like, oh.
Like, you can't just hit the drive-thru, can you? No, you got to go in there.
What'd you have? Oh, I had a cod croissant.
Oh, yuck. I had some mackerel this morning.
Oh, so weird.
Get me, stop by and grab me a coffee and an Admiral's Feast.
Some powdered popcorn shrimp.
I'm really feeling some scampi this morning.
Oh, nothing like scampi and some OJ. All right, we should get out of here.
Yeah.
This is taking a turn.
I got to go get me some peel and eat shrimp now.
No. No, you need to turn in and get a sugar plum cheese Danish.
That's, you know, it is on the way home.
There you go.
I could show up with one for my wife.
Oh, you'd get some points there.
Yeah. I was thinking about you, honey.
That's right.
After Luke told me about this.
I was thinking about one and thinking, if I don't bring you one, you wouldn't be happy. So that's what I was thinking about you.
I can't walk in the house and give you a kiss tasting like one of these either.
No, nope. And you don't want to share. You just need to get two.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't really have anything else to talk about,
me
Luke.
Either, man.
Cool. So if somebody wants to send you a delicious breakfast food.
Yes. You can do that. If you just contact me on Instagram or Twitter, it's Luke Gall. I'll let you know how you can get me one.
I'll make arrangements.
Yeah. I'll have my people talk to your people.
I'm Scott Webster on Instagram and SWebster77 on Twitter. If you have any feedback for us, any topics, any shows, any products, anything at all you think we'd be interested in checking out, or you know, you want to correct us for something we said that was off base or wrong.
Yeah, or if you want to tell us what you think Red Lobster breakfast sandwiches would be like.
Or who's in Spider-Man.
Yes.
You can guess either one of those.
Yeah.
Feel free to reach out to us at podcast@androidguys.com. Until next time, see you guys.
See you later.